Sunday. First Samuel chapter 9. We stopped on Sunday night. We were in verse 21. Samuel and Saul have officially met. Of course, Saul still has no clue as to everything that's going on, but the Lord has let Samuel know that Saul is the man to be anointed as the first king of Israel. And in verse number 20, we saw where Samuel said to Saul, "And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" Again, their desire, as we've talked, was to have a king. Now, when Samuel said, "On whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee?" That you don't need to take from that all Israel knew at this point that Saul was going to be their first king. That's not what that means. All that simply means is that they had the desire for a king. All of Israel wanted a king, and Samuel knew that this was the man that would be that first king. And so all of their desire in that sense was on Saul, in the sense that they all wanted a king and he was going to be the man. It doesn't necessarily mean that they knew, because they didn't know at the time who would be their first king. The only one that I know of at this point who actually knew as far as a person was Samuel. And the reason he knew is because God had told him that Saul would be the man. But whenever he said this to Saul, if you remember verse 21, Saul responded really with a spirit of humility, or at least I'll say it like this, he responded with words of humility. Now, I don't know for a fact what was in his heart, but the words that came out of his mouth, at least at this time, were words of humility toward what Samuel said, because he answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" He responded with words that seemed to say he felt unworthy of what Samuel said, and to believe that he wasn't really a good candidate to feel the desire of all Israel, because he's from the smallest tribe, and then two, he says at least that he's from the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. We talk some about how God generally does it that way. More times than not, he'll pick the most unlikely candidate to fill a very important and prominent position. And he does that very thing here, I guess you could say, with Saul. But in verse 22, we'll move on. It says, "Samuel took Saul and his servant." Remember, that's the servant who actually made the recommendation that they go see Samuel. "But Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor." Don't forget, they're on the hill, or on the high place. They've gone up there for a sacrifice. Hopefully you remember that. And whenever they have this sacrifice, there would always be a meal to follow. Kind of like dinner on the grounds when you have homecoming or revival or something like that. You have the church, then you go over to the fellowship hall and you eat. Well, they would have these various sacrifices, these special occasions. Samuel had come to town. We saw that earlier in the chapter. He had come to town for this particular occasion. The people waited on him because he was going to bless the sacrifice, and then they'd have a meal. And there evidently is a place there, a building, a structure, because it says Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor. So they're inside of this structure. "And he made them sit," notice, "in the chiefest place among them that were bidden." Notice the contrast from what Saul said and what Samuel did. Saul said in verse 21, "And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, my family is the least. Of all those tribes within the smallest tribe, my family is the least. But when Samuel brings him into the parlor to get ready to have this meal, where does he put him? In the chiefest. So you got the two great extremes, right? You have the least, as far as I can tell, that's as low as you can go. The least is just, that's the bottom, right down there on the very bottom. The chiefest, where is that? That's the other end of the spectrum there. That's as high as you can go. So you got the lowest to the highest, which is what the Lord says. Those that exalt themselves shall be abased. Those that abase themselves shall be exalted. And the Bible says before honor, which is what he gets from Samuel by being put in the chiefest place, before honor is humility. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble, the word of God says. But Proverbs says before honor is humility. What that means is before God is going to give you a place of honor, before you will be honored, there must be humility. That's what God says in the Bible. Before the honor comes, there will be humility. And you see the humility at least verbalized in verse 21 through what Saul says. And then you see the honor in verse 22. Y'all see that? There's the honor before the humility. The humility before the honor. He speaks humbly in verse 21, then he gets the honor in verse 22. But Samuel takes him and sits him in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons, so about 30 people gathered here. And Saul is sitting in the chief spot. Whatever seat that was, whatever place that was, that's where he's seated. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. In other words, you set this aside. This is the piece that I want you to make sure you hold on to. And Samuel says, I want you to bring that. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. So this special piece of meat that no doubt Samuel believed was going to be the best, he has that given to Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. He says in the verse, or it says in the verse, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee. How could Samuel have reserved that for him when this is the first time they met? That's right. Don't forget that. Remember what the Lord said to him? Back up in this same chapter, we read verse 15 and 16. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. So God had dropped that into his ear. And it looks like Samuel had been preparing for that. He had been making preparations and had gone so far as to tell the cook, okay, you need to have this particular piece. I want that set aside. And it was, according to Samuel, reserved for Saul. So Samuel has made some preparation. He's acted, you could say, in faith on what God said, right? Because God told him, God said, hey, tomorrow about this time, a fella going to show up. And that's the man that's going to be the king. Well, Samuel could have ignored that. He could have not believed that. But he gets that word from God and he begins to put things in motion, make preparation for what God has said is going to happen. So he acts in faith on what God says. We've talked about it numerous times before, how the Bible says that without faith, It is impossible to please God. Think about that for just a moment. That statement. Without faith, it is what? Impossible. What does impossible mean? It's not even a possibility, right? It's just something that can't be accomplished. Now you think about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, I cannot please the Lord if my life is not lived by faith. And part of a life lived by faith is me believing what God says in this Bible and acting on what God says, right? That is a major part of the Christian life. Paul talks about how we're to walk by faith and not by sight. A major part of walking by faith is me reading the Bible and taking God at His word and acting according to that. That is a major part of a life lived by faith. And I cannot please God, according to the Bible, cannot please God if I don't live that way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We have to believe what He says in His word, and we have to act on that. And if we don't, then we cannot please the Lord. We've talked before about how the reason why we were put on this earth. How many of y'all remember, according to the Bible, why we were put down here on this earth? Revelation 4:11. We were created for His pleasure, right? So there you have it. You don't even have to go to college to get that. All you got to do is read a Bible and you can know why you're on this earth down here. Isn't that amazing? How people will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to a seminary or a cemetery or to some place of higher education to figure out why they're here. And all they got to do is read a Bible and they know why they're here. You know the Bible tell you how you got here? It'll tell you who got you here. And it'll tell you why you're here and what you're supposed to do while you're here. And it'll tell you where you're going to wind up when you leave here. It'll tell you all that. And you can go to a Christian, well, you can't go to too many Christian bookstores anymore and get a real Bible. But there's still a few around that sell the Word of God. And you can go buy you a Bible and just like that, you can have the answer to so many questions. Things that people are wondering about. But the reason why I'm here, the reason why you're here is not to please me, but to please God. I was created for that. And according to the Bible, I cannot do that. I cannot accomplish the very purpose for my existence on this earth without what? Faith. Without faith, I cannot fulfill the very reason for my existence on this planet down here. I look here at Samuel and I see a man who took God as his word. That's faith. I have had people ask me before, what is faith? And the Bible gives various definitions of faith. But in a nutshell, faith is just being crazy enough to take God as his word. That's faith. God says it, you believe that. Whether you understand it or not, whether you can figure it out. And I can tell you, after years and years of study, there's a whole lot in this Bible you ain't going to ever figure out. You mean to tell me that us finite beings are going to figure out an infinite God? Not going to happen. There's a whole lot about the Lord, a whole lot about the Bible we don't understand, never will be able to understand. But faith is reading something in the Bible and saying, you know what, Lord? I don't understand that. I don't get it. And I need you to show me that. I need you to open my eyes so I can understand it. Because I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But Lord, I believe it. That's faith. It's not having all the answers and figuring it all out. It's just reading what God says in the Bible and saying, Lord, this is your word, and I believe everything you say. And then you act according to that. You do what God says, whether you understand it all or not. And Samuel did that very thing. God gave him a word, and he just started acting on it, just making preparations, getting things ready for this man that God said was going to show up. And guess what? What God said would happen, it did happen, didn't it? God said, tomorrow about this time, there's a fella going to show up. Well, guess what? Tomorrow about that time, a fella showed up. Let me remind y'all of something now. Along those lines, God told Samuel, hey, tomorrow about this time, somebody's going to show up. There's a fella coming. Samuel believed that. Do y'all know that in the New Testament, the Lord has told us repeatedly, hey, there's somebody coming. There's somebody going to show up around here one day. Now, unlike the situation with Samuel, he hasn't given us some specifics on that. He hasn't told us the exact day or the hour or the time, but he has told us repeatedly, one day, there's somebody going to show up. And Samuel gets that word, and he begins to prepare for the coming of that man. Get things ready. You know what we need to be doing? Because we've been told, right? We've been told the Lord's going to show up one day. First of all, I need to believe that. With all of my heart and all of my being, I need to take God at His word. And even though the Bible says that in the last days, scoffers will come, and they'll mock, and they'll make light of His promise to come and say, where is the promise of His coming? Even though we live in a world where people scoff at the Lord Jesus and scoff at His return and make light of it, and even though He hadn't showed up, I still need to believe that He's coming one day. How many of you in here honestly, truly, in your heart, believe Jesus Christ coming back one day? We need to believe that because the Lord has said He's coming back one day. But not only do I need to believe that He's coming back, I need to be like Samuel and I need to make some preparations for that coming. When God said, hey, tomorrow a fella's going to show up, he believed it, and then he started doing some stuff to get ready. I think a major part of faith is not just us saying we believe something. We got to believe it, and it's good to say that, but what really, in all honesty, what really tells the tale as far as whether or not you believe something? It's how you act, right? If you really believe something, then it'll have an effect on your life. There'll be some way that your life will be affected by it if you really, truly believe it. And the way I know for a fact that Samuel believed God when he said, tomorrow a man's going to show up, is he started making preparation, getting ready for it. So we can walk around all the time talking about, well, I believe Jesus is coming. Do you really? How much has it affected your life? What kind of preparations have you made for Him coming? Do you believe He could come tonight? I do. I wish He would. He could come tomorrow. It may be 10 years. It may be 50 years. It may be 100 years. I don't know when He's going to show up. But I do know this. If I really, truly believe that one day He's coming, it's going to affect my life. I'm going to be preparing for that day. Now let me show you this here. Go to the New Testament with me to the book of 1 John. First John, and to start with, I want you to look at First John chapter 2. Wouldn't it have been something for God to tell Samuel, hey, tomorrow, about this time, there's a fella going to come, and that's the one that's going to be the king. That's good, too, isn't it? Because that fella that's going to show up around here one day, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, friend. Well, what can you imagine? God says, okay, tomorrow, Samuel, this fella's going to show up. Samuel says, okay, I believe that. But he doesn't make any preparation. He gets nothing prepared. So when Saul comes walking into town, he's not ready for that, right? He doesn't have everything set up. He's not prepared for Saul when he shows up. So there could have been a little bit of maybe a little embarrassment, you might say, on Samuel's part, just because this man that God said was going to come shows up, but he's not ready for it. He doesn't have things set in order and in place like he needed to. Maybe it'd be a little embarrassment on his part. Let me show you why I bring that out. 1 John 2, look at verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 28. John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when," not if, because it's not a matter of if he's going to appear, "that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." How do I avoid the embarrassment when he shows up? Well, I get ready. I make the preparations for it, and I'm ready so that I'm not embarrassed when he shows up. Look at this, chapter 3. This is what I really wanted you to see. Verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," there's that "when he shall appear" again, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Okay, what that's saying is when he shows up, there's going to be a transformation. He says we are the sons of God, but right now while we're down here walking around, you can't necessarily see that because there's nothing special about our appearance. But when he shows up, we're going to be changed. We're going to be made just like him, and then who we really are is going to appear, is what he's saying. But look at verse 3. This is the thing you want to see. "And every man that hath this hope in him," what? "Purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know what he's saying there? Every person that believes he's going to show up one day and change them, make some preparation for that. They purify themselves in preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. So, do you believe he's coming? That's part of faith. We have to believe it. But this is what I'm saying. The reason I know Samuel genuinely believed what God said is because of his actions. He began to make preparation for Saul coming the next day. I just believe that if we truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back one day, then we'll start being prepared for that, getting ready. We prepare for all kind of other stuff, don't we? You know? And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But the next greatest thing on God's timetable is the rapture of the church, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting ready for that? Prepared? Samuel believed the Lord and he acted on it. His faith is what caused him to act that way. All right, I think we'll stop here. We'll finish up this chapter on Sunday and move on into the next chapter. Any questions about what we looked at?